Chapter 29, Location, From Heaven to Earth. Upon his arrival at the Angel Realm, Nimbus was told by Michael's secretary, Rosie, that his assignment was on the Archangel's desk and to feel free to take and review it carefully. Rosie explained that the Archangel was attending some important meetings dealing with universal matters and would not be able to meet with him. Then she added, "Good luck." Nimbus floated in and hovered over his mentor's desk, feeling Michael's energy still lingering. He smiled, thinking that Michael knew that he would say yes to his next assignment. After all, he did need to complete the final level of Angel Associate. Curiously, he wasted no more time and opened his folder. Ruth McBroom was in bold letters looming out at him, giving him a bit of a twinge for some reason. He adjusted his glasses and read aloud. 83 years of age. Diagnosis, COPD. Probable cause, 68 years of smoking unfiltered cigarettes. Nimbus paused. Wow, that's a lot of smoking, but she sure lived a long time. COPD, huh? I know it's a lung ailment. I'll need to do some research later, like I did with Junior's MS. He continued. Caretaker, daughter, Megan Bradbury, 57. Request for assistance, indirect, level 7. Ruth McBroom, use code A6 guidelines. Huh, I will have to check that one out. Intervention. Advanced Angel Associate advised. Nimbus looked around, hoping to see Michael, knowing he would be saying, "That would be you." He scanned the file further and adjusted his glasses again. Location, Port Marion, Wales. Residence, Farm Brooks Common. He flipped through to the last page marked summary. End of life proposal. Ruth McBroom should be under constant supervision. Be advised that she is problematic, obstinate, and aggressive with anyone administering help, as she believes she is self-sufficient and wants to be left alone. A6 guidelines strongly advised. Now I really am going to look up those guidelines. Megan Bradbury, daughter, high stress level 5. A double mission of attending to both subjects is advised. Nimbus paused. Huh, this doesn't actually sound any more difficult than Ricky. He looked at the last statement. Mission, to assess subject's dying and death solution. Relay it to subject who is without acceptance or cooperation. To assist in process of natural human being life cycle. Caution, level 9 protocol. Nimbus closed the file and walked out to Michael's secretary. Rosie, excuse me, but could you tell me the meaning of the level 9 protocol? Level 9 protocol? She repeated. She moved her bright pink finger around in the air until the words floated and bobbed in front of Nimbus. Just touch the words and they will appear in your mind. Oh, thank you, Nimbus said, touching the words. Level 9 protocol, a robotic voice reverberated in Nimbus's head. Approach with extreme caution and wear protective coating for incoming assault and attempted battery. That is all. That is all. Nimbus touched the words again and it repeated. Level 9 protocol. Approach with extreme caution and wear protective coating for incoming assault and attempted battery. That is all. Nimbus looked at the pink angel and she shrugged. Michael usually gives me more directions and helpful information for my missions, he said as the red words faded from his mind.
Well, I guess I'll be flying by the seat of my pants, he added with a heartfelt laugh.
But Michael's assistant had already floated back to her desk. Since Nimbus was anxious to get moving, thinking Wales could be challenging since it was his first assignment in a foreign country, He headed for the large landmass due east of the United States. He had loved geography in school. There's Ireland. I would love to see that, too. And Wales is between Scotland and England. Maybe I'll have some break time to visit those as well. Finding Farmbrook's Common wasn't that difficult since it was just outside of Port Marion. Upon his arrival at the cottage, he floated into Ruth's bedroom with his cutest baby face and cauliflower shape. He was not only rejected and yelled at by the defensive Ruth McBroom, but she tried to put a witch's spell on him before he had a chance to even introduce himself. Then she threw everything she could to get her hands on, which of course sailed right through him. No special coding necessary here for the level 9 protocol attempted assault, he said indignantly, thinning himself out for his quick departure. As he regained his composure, floating just outside the back door, he sucked in his breath and shaked back into his roly-poly cute cloud. What just happened? Did I fail at my approach? My appearance? I thought he did my research. The way she acted makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Nimbus hovered under the porch roof, noticing the wind blowing hard. He scanned the area and added, But what made her so upset and built into such a destructive storm? Ruth had frustrated him from the moment he entered her bedroom. He had been quite surprised that for being so old, she was acting so young and immature. It became apparent to him after the first few minutes of ranting and raving that her 83 years were a compilation of blame and resentment, disappointments and disappointments to others. And her temper tantrum was a demonstration of just not getting her own way as far as Nimbus was concerned. To say she was jaded and cynical was an understatement. Ruth is a bull in a china shop, Nimbus said, bobbing around at the back of the cottage in the wind. He had reread her folder and came across some words he had missed before. Nimbus remembered the words again, and they appeared in his mind like the level 9 protocol ones did. Suggestion? A sixth sense level of interaction would be advised. He read them out loud again. Sixth sense definition, a supposed intuitive faculty giving awareness. He repeated slower. A supposed intuitive faculty giving awareness not explicable in terms of normal perception. What? He searched his mind further. A power of perception like, but not one of the five senses. A keen intuitive power. Intuitive. He thought for a minute. A sixth sense must be that deeper voice that comes from the heart that I will need to pay attention to. I get it. It's a knowing beyond the physical experiences of the five senses, Nimbus said with conviction. I think Ruth is going to be more challenging than I realize. Maybe I should start with her daughter. She might be more open and help me out. Megan was at the back of the cottage in her large vegetable garden, pulling carrots and digging up potatoes, when Nimbus attempted to float over. However, he had forgotten how fierce the winds could be and only made it to the door of the potting shed. He quickly reshaped back into his most adorable self as Megan approached. As with every encounter with Nimbus, Megan was no different. She jerked to a stop, sucked in her breath, and dropped whatever. In Megan's case, it was a basket full of vegetables. Hi, Megan, Nimbus said quickly. Please don't be afraid. I'm here on behalf of the angels to assist you and your mother. I am an angel associate named Nimbus. Megan didn't pause for long before she laughed. I love it when something extraordinary happens, she said, picking up the vegetables and putting them back in the basket. My mother has crossed over to extreme crazy and thinks she's been possessed by the goddess Aaron Rod. Are you she? Megan walked past Nimbus into the shed. Oh, wait! You did say you were an angel's assistant, but you look more like a cloud. Angel associate, and actually I am a cloud, and I work for Archangel Michael and the Angel Cloud team. Nimbus floated into the shed behind her. He formed into his best angel look-alike shape. Archangel Michael? Huh. You know, I've heard of him. Isn't he the lead singer in a rock band? No, this is the real leader of all the angels. And since you prayed for help, here I am. I don't remember praying for anything, Megan said over her shoulder, brushing dirt off the table. Oh, wait, I did ask to be beamed up on several occasions, saying there is no intelligent life here. But I think you must have been hearing my mom screaming, Good God in heaven, why me? Or, Jesus Christ, help me leave this nightmare! I don't remember reading that in your mother's file. File? Megan said with a snort. My mother has a file? Well, yes, we all have files, but aren't you afraid or surprised to see me? Nimbus asked. This all feels like a dream, so no. I'm going to take this in stride, too. What did you say your name was? Nimbus, Angel, just call me Nimbus. Nimbus, like the cumulus cloud? Megan wiped her hands on her apron about the same time she heard a loud, continuous ringing of a bell. That would be Mom! Your mom freaked out when I tried to talk to her, Nimbus said. I didn't have a chance to introduce myself. She said she was going to put a spell on me. Mom tells everyone that. Hey, we are in the land of the ruins, the druids, and crop circles, not to mention fairies and Celtic goddesses. And with all those time travel books now, and that TV series about a woman meeting her true love back in time, it can make some people pretty nervous. Actually, we do all have powers, you know. We just don't know it yet. The bell continued to ring. Coming, Mother, she yelled, picking up the basket of vegetables and heading for the house. Would it be all right if I tag along? Nimbus chimed in between bell rings. I can stay really thin at the ceiling so I don't upset her. Oh, she's always upset, but sure, join me. I'd love the company, even though I'm imagining all this and I'm slowly slip-sliding away. I assure you, Megan, you are as sane as they come and I am real, Nimbus said, following her out of the shed and in through the open kitchen door. She dropped the basket of vegetables on a large metal table and disappeared down the hall, only to return swiftly without missing a step. She picked up the basket and dumped onions, carrots, and potatoes into the sink, then turned on the faucet. I see you are still inside, Nimbus. I can stay inside a lot longer and not dissipate like I used to at Taylor's, Nimbus said, hovering over the moisture from the running water. She had to keep the shower running when I was at her house. Who's Taylor? Megan asked, picking up a scrub brush. Nimbus told the closet teller story in between Megan's visits to her mother's room. That was always the best story to start with, especially when dealing with the supernatural. But when Megan returned for the third time, she was exasperated. Does it ever end? Can you believe she wants the blue glass for her orange juice and only wants it half full? Straws would work really good, Mom, so you don't spill, and I don't have to refill it so often. Hello? Megan went to the sink. Now she just has to wait because I need to start dinner. And oh boy, is she going to be mad when she finds there is no bell to ring. Megan pulled it from her apron and set it on the table. Is your mom in pain? Nimbus asked, as he watched Ruth's daughter cut up the vegetables. She's on morphine for that, but she is a real pain. Megan dumped the cutting board piled high with vegetables into the stew pot of broth on the stove. Then she added fresh rosemary and celery leaves. I don't mean to sound mean, but my mother has become her own pain. I am told she is in the final stages of her life. Maybe a few more months are left. I don't think I can make it a month. Megan went on to explain the details of Ruth's years of smoking and the slow decline of her health over the last 5 years. She told Nimbus that she left home in her early 20s and had been living in the United States trying to follow her bliss as an artist. However, lately she was dealing with 3 very stressful situations: her dying mother, her recent divorce, and the end of her 12-year career as a curator of an art gallery that had sold due to lack of interest. No one knows the real value of owning an original painting. People go and get giclées now for a tenth of the price, she said. She popped the lid on the stew pot and wiped her hands on her mother's worn denim apron from Harrods. What's a giclée? Nimbus asked. He knew nothing about art and was fascinated. It's a digital print of the original. It's a copy. People just don't understand that the original art has an energy. You have to have the real thing to really feel it. Oh, I do understand that, Nimbus said. Anyway, when I found out Mom was ill, of course I would jump at the chance to help her. She paused for a long moment, staring off into space, and then added, you know, no one has a clue about taking care of a sick person 24/7, especially when you love them so much. Suddenly, Megan teared up and sat down on the stool next to the table. Sorry, it's been a real experience. I can't believe how angry I am now. Mom knew she was killing herself with all those cigarettes and the secondhand smoke when I was growing up. How selfish is that? But who knew in those days? Don't get me wrong. My mom was the neatest mom, and I couldn't wait to come to be with her. But that was then. What a mistake. It must be very hard helping someone so helpless, knowing that they are going to die. But when is she going to die? And trust me, you would never know she was helpless. One day she's good and wants me to bring her the sweater so she can knit it. Almost pleasant. Then she throws it on the floor and is screaming to close the curtains and then open the curtains or change her bed because she has had an accident. And trust me, she has a lot of accidents. And if I touch her, she screams. She screams in the most awful pain, like I'm the one that's hurting her on purpose. Oh, that sounds horrible, Nimbus said, feeling horrible. Does she know she doesn't have long to live? Oh, she can only hope. She is just so angry about everything and wants to die. She hates me right now, as if I could speed things up. Megan started to cry, then went to the kitchen sink and rang cold water, rinsing down the dirt. Nimbus was thinking, then said, maybe she's angry at herself because she made a choice that has cost her her life. And you are alive and well and a reminder of what could have been.
I don't even think she's aware of that, Nimbus. I don't think she's aware of anything but her own suffering. You know what she said to me yesterday? I wish I had more money so I could hire someone else to boss around and not feel guilty like I do with you.
Oh, that must have hurt your feelings.
Yes, it did.
We had a great relationship once, but now, why does she have to be so mean? Because she knows you love her very much and that's safe.
Maybe, Megan said softly and blew her nose. I better go check on her.
Yeah, right. Nimbus watched her leave and flashed on the anger he had felt for his dad and some of the terrible things he had thought about him. Then he thought of Ricky and his dad. Why were relationships so complicated? Maybe in Ruth and Megan's case, it was like a mother bear that bites her cub until it leaves and goes out on its own. Or maybe if the dying loved one is so hateful, it won't hurt so much when they finally die. Can that be right? Huh, I don't know. She's asleep, Megan said, walking over to the stew pot boiling on the stove. She only eats ice cream bars now anyway, but I need to keep up my strength. Do you get any visitors? Nimbus asked, hovering close to the steam coming from the stew pot. She won't let me tell anyone, and most of her friends have already passed away. But on her good days, which are few and far between now, I do call the Levines. They're the only Jewish people for miles around and are so fun and upbeat. Their son is a rabbi in Israel. My mom tolerates them because they make her laugh. She met them at a dog show when she used to be a dog breeder raising Labradors. The Levines still raise Scottish deerhounds, which is really funny because Mr. Levine looks just like his dogs. But I haven't seen any dogs around here, Nimbus said. Oh, she's been out of the business for years. She was happy then. Megan poked the vegetables in the stew pot, then went to the refrigerator and pulled out the cut-up pieces of lamb. She browned them in the frying pan of hot oil before dumping them into the pot, then added a can of tomato sauce. Now for the finishing touches. She produced a bottle of white wine and unscrewed the top. She poured herself a glass, then added the rest to the pot. After their long silence and his observation of Megan's culinary skills, Nimbus blurted out, "I am thinking of becoming a human being for my next mission. Then I would get to taste those complicated dishes you are making and understand what you have to go through every single day." Nimbus, you are understanding plenty. Thank you for being real and being here. I'll present you to the Queen tomorrow. I know you will win her over. But Nimbus wasn't so sure. In fact, he was close to aborting the whole assignment. He needed to talk to Michael, but he was off the grid. Who could he talk to? Lady Meander.